reached out, interfering somewhat with the outfielder. Outfielder very, very angry at the situation, causing a run to score when it could have been caught. So,
yeah, he caught the ball instead of the Cub.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's a Cubs fan.
So what happened after
keep your
that
hands
game,
back.
Just watch the 30 for 30. It's
yeah, it is good.
Insane what happened to this man. Literally caused somebody to go into hiding.
As stupid as he was in doing that, because that's something that every fan should understand, is you don't interfere with a ball in play.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction to it, I thought, was a little bit over the top.
Of course.
You know, it's like,
For Boston fans to somewhat get some idea on the situation.
This is what we did to Billy Buckner.
This is Billy Buckner, of course.
This is exactly what we did to Billy Buckner.
It's a little bit different because that he was a player, so you can make a mistake and you still get paid millions of dollars. We're talking about somebody that is just like an average fan of the game.
Yeah, Bartman at least could like grow a beard and like tell people his name was different. Mm-hmm. Billy Buckner didn't have the advantage of that.
And I thought Chicago was nice. Imagine if that happened here.
Baltimore.
Hmm. When was this story?
Today was the new one.
Ooh, Baltimore.
The new one is a giveaway.
I know you're going to tell me in...
The public defender's office says it has more video of cops planting evidence on suspects.
Mm-hmm.
In the latest case, the suspect was dismissed when the video surfaced. This is the second time in 2 weeks that Baltimore cops have been caught on tape planting evidence.
Yeah, not a good look.
Not good for the Baltimore PD.
HBO.
HBO was hacked, and the exact extent of the hack is still unknown. The hackers got away with 1.2 terabytes of data. That is
1.5.
Oh, is it 1.5?
1.5.
That is about 3 times the storage capacity of the average desktop tower's hard drive these days. That is a lot of data. They've threatened to release. They've already posted some shows online that haven't aired yet. They've threatened to release a Game of Thrones script. But apparently they got a trove of personal information on HBO employees, which may or may not include the holy grail of corporate hacking emails.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like me, you can't wait for those emails to hit the web because the Paramount ones from a couple of years ago were very enlightening.
They're fantastic.
Not to mention the Clinton campaign emails. It's just nonstop fun.
Mm-hmm.
When people who should know better write stupid things in emails, only to find them published on the internet.
Now, this actually happened on July 27th. The CEO learned that his company's network, as you said, was breached, 1.5 terabytes of data. So we're talking about video footage, internal documents, email correspondence. All of this could be leaked from the 2,500-plus employees. They sent an email out to all their employees warning what happened. So again, the August 6th episode of Game of Thrones, the script, they have that, as well as unaired episodes of Ballers and Room 104, which I believe that series didn't even start yet. This is kind of going back to 2 years ago when they, or was it last year? Somebody hacked into HBO and they leaked episodes 1, 2, 3.
They actually
Game of Thrones.
It was Orange is the New Black. It was Netflix, and they actually hacked into a post production house in Los Angeles that was doing the sound mixing.
Oh, for Game of Thrones.
No, it wasn't Game of Thrones. It was Orange is the New Black.
No, it was Game of Thrones because I watched episodes 1, 2, 3, 4 a week before episode 1 aired.
Those were 2 years ago? That was 2 years ago. Those were the unfinished episodes that they hacked from the special effects house.
Mm-hmm.
Because there weren't finished effects.
But it was great. But I couldn't watch it for 4 weeks.
Game of Thrones. It really...
Go away. We're not.
I'm just not impressed.
Mm-hmm.
I have standards.
You want to go there?
Yeah. Yeah. If we're going to talk about culture, yeah. But that's not the point of this sequence.
Legos.
What's wrong with Legos? It's the number one toy brand on the planet. They make amazing stuff. Padma Lakshmi.
Ooh, I know this. She said that she was hurled racial slurs at her. So the court case just started for the Top Chef Boston. You had local Teamsters being accused of, yep, as I said, racial slurs, protests all around the production, specifically in one location at Steel and Rye in Milton, where Teamsters, one of the leaders, had his papers in hand and somebody stopped him from having the permits, stopping Bravo executives from starting production there because they were mad they didn't use transportation from Union. Not a good look, boss.
Marty Walsh is...
We talked about this on the show.
Marty Walsh is former director of economic development, who himself is facing indictment and will face a trial later this year on racketeering charges, I believe. May testify in this thing. He's on the witness list, and Padma is on the witness list as well, and she's expected to come in and talk about how incredibly pleasant the Teamsters are to deal with.
Not, you know, and we talked, as I said, a few times when this was coming up. And this is actually one of my favorite shows. I love Top Chef. And it was so exciting for it to be able to come to Boston and seeing all these, you know, culinary institutions here in our city that we're proud of, that we're known
for. But you didn't get to see any of those because the Teamsters didn't let anyone near them.
It's shameful.
It is.
So many times we... say, and again, I condemn the Olympics being here. We didn't think the Grand Prix was going to be here. But when you have something like Top Chef that is highlighting our city that we're really not very much known for our culinary scene, but to have a show like that spotlight it, that's something special, and they chose it for a reason.
That's something that City Hall should get behind because it's good for tourism, not obstruct by having the economic development officer basically call up the Omni Parker House and say, don't let Top Chef in, allegedly. Call up the Omni Parker House, allegedly, and say, don't let Top Chef in because the Teamsters are coming down to smash the place up.
No, and it was threat after threat. You have one of the people in the Teamsters that actually removed himself, said that he was sleeping with a knife underneath his bed every day. Do I actually think that happened? Yes. These people are crazy.
This is the world that Marty Walsh lives in which nothing matters except the unions being happy. Mm. And that's why he is a bad mayor for the city of Boston.
Thank you.
This is you.
This is me.
Yeah.
I had a fine one we didn't do. Dennis Eckersley.
Dennis Eckersley and John Price, I believe, is the...
David Price.
Thank you. David Price lit up the Eck on a flight back to Boston after the Eck went back into the players' section of the plane. Mr. Price basically got up and told him to get the hell out of here and said a number of other things, receiving a standing ovation from his fellow players. David Price later explained himself, saying he is sick and tired and the players are sick and tired of Mr. Eckersley saying bad things about them. Specifically because he never goes to the locker room. Mm-hmm. He never interacts with the team. And Price made that, and I backed Team Price 100%.
Really?
100%, yeah. Yeah. Why am I going to back up Dennis Eckersley in this thing?
He's a news commentator. He's a sports commentator.
He is a former player who has full run of that ballpark. And like everybody else in the media, Dan Shaughnessy isn't afraid to walk into that locker room and talk to people. And get baseballs and bats hurled at him. What's Eck's problem?
But there's a difference there. Shaughnessy writes for the biggest paper in Boston. On his beat is baseball. His beat is sports. The inside. That's not what Dennis Eckersley does. He commentates on the game. So boo-hoo, you don't like what I'm saying. When David Price, who is, in fact, an actual choke artist in playoffs, who... but that's fact. So you find out that Dennis Eckersley, a huge namestay in Boston.
Oh, please,
baseball.
Please.
But no. I'm not just saying as player. I'm saying as a commentator, as somebody that's been part of the Red Sox organization. Yes.
Listen, I got respect.
No. Listen, I'm not done. And what I'm saying is, because Price was angry of what he said, because he was throwing crap, that's the reality of it. He was throwing nothing. Doesn't like, oh, he's saying bad things
about
me.
He wasn't even complaining about what X said about him.
You can't compare Dan Shaughnessy, a writer, who is actually writing on...
Yes, I can, because at the end of the day, they both have the same job, which is to act as a bridge between the players and what goes on off the field and the fans who are watching what happens on the field.
So then maybe...
That's Eckersley's job, that's Shaughnessy's job, so that's everybody's job in the industry.
Then maybe it is a corporate culture, because at Nesson, it's very off-the-cuff commentation, it's play-by-play, it's not this in-depth...
That's fine. Every other
fluff story,
David Price,
for the majority of what Dan Shaughnessy writes for.
David Price made the point.
If you don't like it, then change the corporate culture of how Nesson runs things.
No, it's not Nesson. David Price made the point on Saturday. Everyone else who covers the Red Sox, every other member of the media, every other commentator goes into the locker room, talks to the players. Dennis Eckersley is the only one that doesn't.
Jerry Remy
goes and talks to the players.
Goes and talks to the players? Does he go and talk to the players after every single baseball game? No, he doesn't.
No, but he doesn't.
Don Orsillo, does he go into the locker room after
every... Yes, he does.
No, he does
not.
Yes,
he does.
I know this for a fact. No, he does not.
He's never set foot in the locker room.
That's different.
Dennis Eckersley has never set foot in the locker room.
Fact.
According to everybody on the current Red Sox roster.
Who are all new.
They're not all new. Pedroia's been there for 10 years.
Is one of the only ones still left?
Still been there for 10 years. Everyone on that roster says they have never seen Dennis Eckersley in the locker room.
And he's been on the team for like 7.
Yeah, whatever. But every single one of them said they have never seen him in the locker room.
So you're going by a group that is, because Pedroia probably had his headphones in and wasn't paying attention. You're going by a group who, for the most part, are rookies that haven't been with the team for more than 2 years. Them going, yeah, you know what? You shouldn't. There's a difference between, and maybe it's just me, but you should have respect in baseball and people that paved the way so that you could continue with this game.
That respect cuts both ways. That cuts both ways, okay?
I mean, he's not like a no-name. We're talking about Hall of Fame.
I understand that. But when we've got 30 guys saying, this guy is the only guy that doesn't come in a locker room and we're tired of him talking crap about us and not knowing what goes on down here, I'm with the players.
But it's not like he's talking about their wives or their girlfriends or their families. They're saying, you're playing bad. He understands the game. You're playing a crap game.
If I am a broadcaster and I have access to the people that I cover, I am going to go and talk to the people I cover.
That's part of the job. Of course.
Eckersley's sitting in his ivory tower, blows in, does the broadcast, blows out, doesn't have time to talk to anybody.
That is not fact. That's just going by what Price. You're going by the opinion.
I'm going,
or
by,
going by
David Price and every other Red Sox player who was on that airplane.
So you have a
who
quote.
Stood up and applauded him for it.
Because it was a group mentality.
No, not you because it's a group mentality.
You do not have a quote from every single Red Sox player that was on that plane. No, it was David Price was angry, and all of his players are going to stand by him because, yeah, you know what? We actually haven't seen Eck in the locker room for a couple years. Maybe he should. You're right. Oh, you know, we're banging chests and we're giving each other high fives. Come on, think about it. That's how it went down.
I am horrified by you. I am absolutely horrified by you.
Absolutely not.
I, as somebody who is a broadcaster, I would expect higher standards out of you.
No.
I cannot believe that you're giving Eck a pass.
I absolutely am.
For what reasons?
I think David Price is being a big baby because of what he...
I've heard that part of it. So we're just going to come in here and not do any research ever and just talk about stuff, right? That's how we're going to do it?
There's a difference in that.
What difference is there?
Because we're not doing play-by-play watching a game, or we're not doing play-by-play of what is actually going on.
Sure we are. We do it at a slightly more abstracted, removed level, but that's exactly what we do here.
What sports broadcasting for the majority is, it's a lot of knowledge. And so many times that I've been introduced into a role or into a job, I needed to take a test. I needed to be able to know things off the top of my head.
You just said something very important. It's a lot of what?
Knowledge.
What does it take a lot of?
Information.
How do you get that?
Experience.
No.
And understanding the game.
No.
But
no.
For the majority of
how
what
do you
sports,
get that? How do we do what we do?
Research.
Research, research, research. Every opportunity you have to learn about what's going on, you take.
Derek, you and I are not in politics.
I have.
So we don't have quote unquote experience.
Dennis Eckersley
has experience.
Dennis Eckersley
is. So he knows the game.
No.
I don't know the inner workings of the White House.
He doesn't know the game.
So I need to.
He knows what the game was 30 years ago when he played. He doesn't know what the game is today.
Oh, so he doesn't know the fundamentals of, you know, a splitter, a fastball.
Anybody can get that part of it.
Oh, anybody?
The game is faster and more physical than it was back in Eckersley's day. Guys are throwing twice as hard as they used to. Balls are flying around twice as fast as they used to. The guys today would run roughshod. They would make any Major League Baseball team of the 1980s look like Pee Wee League if you put them on the same field.
Of course.
Okay? So for Dennis Eckersley to sit up in his ivory tower and say, I know baseball, therefore I don't have to research anything anymore, is complete garbage.
No, and there's somewhat of that mentality.
That's crappy broadcasting.
There's somewhat of that mentality in many sports where you think that you just play, but I don't think he's a bad broadcaster in any sense.
If he's doing half of the job, he's a bad broadcaster.
He is, from what I understand and from my experience, I've seen him at events. I've seen him at things that are other than just being in the tower. He is interviewing players on Lansdowne Street. It's not just sitting up there and watching the game. That's not true. I've seen
According to the players,
but
it
I've
is.
I've seen it and I've experienced it. And you're going based off of players. Then maybe, yes, Derek, from my experience and what I understand what Nesson was 5 years ago, is different then with all of these players, and maybe that it's that mentality of the group that for the majority have only been there for two or less years, then yes, I'm going to absolutely give you that. They all think that they're really not bonding with the young kids anymore.
You heard it here.
Then yes.
First.
But Dennis Eckersley.
From Lisa Nichols, the Red Sox players are a bunch of liars. Lisa Nichols says the Red Sox are a bunch of liars.
No, I think how it's being reported is that it was a group thing and everybody was talking. No, you don't have an interview from every single player. You don't have Pedroia saying anything about this.
I don't hear anyone disputing what David Price said. I have not heard a single player come out and say, well, you know what, it's not
quite like
that.
Why are you
going to
get involved? Why are you going to start something with your teammate?
Because when
during
a story...
One of
because,
the,
number one, it's David Price, and who cares? Number two...
Why are you going to start trouble in your clubhouse when you're going into playoffs?
Whenever something this big comes up with the Red Sox, somebody always breaks with the company line. It is the history of this ball club.
Yeah, but exactly the thing that I condemned in having a young squad is that young squads stick together.
I'm not doing research for this show anymore.
Perfect.
That's how it's going to go from now on. I'm going to take the Dennis Eckersley approach. I'm just going to mail it in every week, tell you what I see, and hope for the best.
Good.
So, yeah. The Fireball.
The Fireball.
The Fireball.
Not the liquor.
Not the liquor. The Fireball.
The Fireball. Is this what NASA is? NASA's doing something.
Nope.
I don't know.
Killed 18-year-old Tyler Jarrett. And injured seven others after the traveling thrill ride came apart at the Ohio State Fair last Thursday. KMG International BV, the Dutch company that makes the ride, ordered all of them shut down until further notice. The video
is
horrifying. You know that Frisbee thing they got up at Canopy Lake Park?
Yes.
This is a smaller version of that.
Oh, good.
Only instead of having that big center floor, it's just chairs mounted on arms, and one of them just came apart and killed a bunch of people.
Yeah, that's why I don't go on rides at carnivals.
I don't like those rides. I don't like that ride in particular. It strikes me as being incredibly dangerous and always has.
All right. What do I have left for you? What do we got? We're on four. No.
This is your fourth.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio
has been indicted on... I know he's been indicted on obstruction of justice and obstruction of immigrants and hate crimes and...
But the actual one is ignoring a court order to quit racially profiling people during traffic stops.
Yeah.
So this is self-proclaimed America's toughest sheriff in Arizona. He spent more than two decades cracking down on undocumented immigrants in Arizona before being voted out of his job last year. His resume standout was setting up Tent City, an outdoor prison where inmates were forced to wear pink underwear. Unclear why. In 2007, the ACLU accused him of racially profiling Latinos. A judge sided with the ACLU and banned him from arresting people based only on the suspicion of their immigration status. But he kept doing it anyway. Court said the order wasn't clear. Now a federal judge said, yes, you are in contempt of court.
Yep.
Not a good look.
Get to go spend some time in jail with the people you arrested. Never a good time. Federal Aviation Administration. This is a big one on Monday.
So the FAA.
The FAA.
Ooh, electronic devices.
No.
Something recently just came out with electronic devices.
Big one on, well, not maybe, but that's not this one. This was huge on Monday.
The FAA.
FAA.
So something with traveling. Something's banned. I don't know.
Has been ordered to look into quote, the case of the incredible shrinking airline seat, end quote.
Yes, by the
appeals
judge.
Court judge Patricia Millett in Washington.
That's right.
The amount of space for seats, which is called seat pitch, apparently has declined from 35 inches on average in the 1970s to 31 inches today, with some airlines give you as little as 28 inches of room between you and the seat in front of you. Width.
That's not a lot of room.
Width has declined from 18 inches to 16.5 inches. The American waistline is going in the opposite direction. So the FAA maintained that this was not a hazard in an evacuation situation. The judge said, you're idiots. Go investigate.
All right, last one for you. Rob Gronkowski.
Gronk?
Mm-hmm.
Gronk. I know he's at practice. Rob Ninkovich is back at practice, actually, and is helping to coach the players now that he's retired. Gronkowski, I don't know. The guy makes so many headlines a week that I can't keep track.
It's actually Tom Brady's 40th birthday, and for his birthday, he said he was going to give him touchdowns.
Nice. That's a good present. Patriot fans support that. Happy 40th, Tom. My wish for you is ring number 6. Halloween.
The holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Or an aspect thereof.
Halloween candy is already out.
Yes. Yes, the Reese's and Kit Kat people already have their displays up in supermarkets 2 months early. Halloween candy.
I think it's just an excuse to buy candy. And then when you eat it all, you have to keep going back out.
Halloween.
Yeah.
In August.
It's August. It's getting there.
When we come back, the noisy children on the internet ruin Broadway here on WMFO Medford.
14 days. Face lies the snake in the sea. 2 weeks.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag? It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Picture. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary here with you every Wednesday night, and this is WMFO 91.5 Medford. Screaming children on the internet, they're back, and the push for diversity casting has been front and center on Broadway. It's a conversation that Broadway is finding itself in having after controversy erupted over the weekend with before the weekend with the casting of Mandy Patinkin to replace African-American actor Oak Onadwawan as one of the leads in the musical Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. So I'm sure this actually hit mainstream. So this isn't just in the Broadway arena. So kind of a breakdown of what actually happened. Onadwawan found himself brought in to replace into this Broadway show Josh Groban, who very, very popular, very big name, especially on Broadway. So, of course, that's going to bring in a lot of ticket sales. And Josh Groban was having issues with his voice, so this actor was brought in to replace him. He has the fame of Hamilton.
Who's Hercules.
Who was...
In Hamilton.
Amazing.
Yeah.
In Hamilton.
Oak is a great actor. He's a great
singer.
And
I only base my opinion also on just clips that I've seen from it. But he looks really good in it. So,
he's
backlash started rolling out as soon as news that Patinkin was replacing him. And this is how it came about. The actor, Otto Oak, went on his Twitter. Do you have the exact quote of what he said? Because it was very, professional. It had a lot of class to it. And what it basically said was, you know, I respect every single person that I have worked with in this cast. And they're amazing. And all of these. And he spoke about a couple of particular actors that really propelled this this musical. And then he said, my last date is going to be on August, was it the 12th or the 13th?
August 13th.
August 13th. I will not return after the show. This is all we know just by this actor posting on Twitter. So that goes through all the news wires on the Broadway channels. And then come to find out, the post wrote a story about Mandy Patinkin saying that he is taking himself out of the play because of then producers hit Twitter and said, we actually offered the role to Mandy Patinkin. We're very honest and very real about what the situation. The show was in dire straits. It was in financial crisis. And Oak, yes, because he had the fame from Hamilton, he didn't garner the same amount of star power as somebody like Mandy Patinkin, who was in Evita and so on and so on, and everybody knows him in Broadway. Of course he's going to bring in ticket sales. So what they decided to do, these producers of this play, to save it, was to bring Mandy Patinkin in for 3 weeks and still pay Oak while he took a break, and then they wanted him to come back.
Yeah.
But they just wanted ticket sales to, you know, just up again.
Yeah.
Well,
it's and let's just say for a moment, it's Mandy Patinkin. Mandy Patinkin.
I would see in a heartbeat. I love him.
Mandy Patinkin has not been on a Broadway stage in in 8 years. Mm-hmm. And the last time he was doing a concert with Ida Lupino. So the idea of Mandy Patinkin as the lead in a musical is something that hasn't been seen in Broadway in forever. Mm-hmm. It's huge. It doesn't get any bigger than that, okay? It's like calling Harrison Ford in to save your little independent movie because the box office power is so massive that you are guaranteed success and guaranteed to get your name back in front of people for at least a little while.
Mm-hmm.
This is no slight at all against Oak, who's great and apparently amazing in the role from what everybody says. This is dollars and cents, okay? If we put it in football terms, if the St. Louis Rams, the Los Angeles Rams,
I'm going to be correct here,
were to drop Jared Goff tomorrow and replace him with Tom Brady, their ticket sales would go through the roof, okay? I'm trying to think of a team that has a black quarterback, and it's hard to come up with one who's not, you know. If the Cleveland Browns, who still had Russell Griffin III last year, not Russell, Robert Griffin III last year, if they had cut him and replaced him with Tom Brady, that stadium would have sold out for the rest of the season.
Of course.
Because everybody's going to be like, Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, is coming to play for our football team. Mm-hmm. But you're replacing a black guy with a white guy.
And
you can't do that.
What happened. And it appeared to observers to bring up concerns, of course, of racism. Because Broadway is too white? No, actually,
generally speaking, yes. There are huge...
But it's also this play. So Mandy Patinkin, after this comes out in the news article, he takes to Twitter and says, I would never accept a role knowing that it would harm another actor. I hear what members of the community have said, and I agree with them. Now, this is when Oak had come out on his Twitter. It was a shock to the producers because they, from what they understood, was that he was going to be coming back. And as I said, they were very candid. They said, I mean, how many times do you hear Broadway producers say, we have no money? Like, this show to fall apart if we don't bring somebody on. This is why we brought somebody on. They're both amazing, but he is going to generate sales. So
again, we're putting Tom Brady on the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Mandy Patinkin being out, what seems as a victory may turn out to be a bitter one for this show because post a closing notice in the fall, you're essentially talking about if nobody goes to it. So Oak's out, Patinkin's out. More than likely, the show's going to fall apart unless in the next couple days they bring in somebody very, very big to salvage ticket sales. So now you are going to be, for the majority, 35 acting people with acting jobs gone, many of which are people of color. So where do we win here?
We don't.
It's a loss.
We don't. It's because pretty much... After August 13th, they now have no lead for the show. The New York Times reported that they were offering refunds to people who bought tickets for dates when Mandy Patinkin was supposed to be there. Apparently, if you call the box office and ask for that refund, they're very unhappy. They're a little bit sad that everybody is asking for their money back, but this is what was represented. Mm-hmm. Was that Mandy Patinkin was going to be there. A lot of people went out and bought tickets specifically for that. So this show could be over.
I'm trying to think of what the show was. Two of my regulars at work, they recently went to New York and found out the day of that the actor decided to randomly take 2 weeks off without any medical explanation, or I believe it was for vacation. But they were very angry because they specifically bought tickets to that show because of who the actor was. You know, and after this backlash really hit, the producers, Howard and Janet Kagan, they said in a statement, "We really had the wrong impression of how Oak felt about the casting announcement and how it would be received by the members of the community. And we appreciate and deeply invested in actors of color, as are we." And I don't see this in any sort of way other than they needed a big name. I'm sure they reached out to many people. I'm sure they didn't shoot high and say, "Hey, we're, you know, let's only go for Mandy Patinkin because he hasn't been on a set in, you know, 8 years." They probably asked about 40 people, many of which probably were of color.
No, I think they specifically asked Mandy Patinkin because they knew he was going to be in New York shooting Homeland, and they said, "Hey, do you want to come in and do this?" And he said, "Yes."
You don't think that they asked a couple people or had other people in mind?
No, I think you ask Mandy Patinkin first. Because you always go with your first choice first and expect...
Yeah, but they're making a list.
Fully expecting that he's going to say no. And when he actually says yes, you're like, "Oh, stop the presses, Mandy Patinkin." Again, Tom Brady on the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
Doesn't matter if you're orange, green, yellow, purple.
Tom Brady, get him in, get him in here. It's that big. And I know people who don't know theater don't get this necessarily, but it's Mandy Patinkin. He's on Homeland. He's in Inigo Montoya. He was on Chicago Hope. He was on Criminal Minds. He's been all good. Mandy is awesome. Mm-hmm. I've seen Mandy twice in the last couple of years. I would have gone to see this. Apparently, this is the latest scuttlebutt, is that there was a full cast and crew meeting and that they were expecting an announcement about the future of the show sometime soon, which more than likely means that the 35 cast members, one of the most diverse casts on Broadway, next to Hamilton, are going to be out of work. Why? Because a lot of people who don't know what the heck they're talking about, who don't understand how business works, who don't understand that if there are no tickets sold and no money is coming in, the show closes.
Mm-hmm. So either way, you're screwed.
Have now, in the interests of promoting their agenda, potentially signed the death warrant for this show.
Mm-hmm.
And 35 actors and musicians, plus the stagehands, plus the house staff, plus everyone box office peripherally associated.
Yeah, but we're not even talking about just the jobs. It's the money that goes into this. This is backers. This is investors. This is producers.
They're fine. We don't care. They've made their money. They've made their money. They've made their money times over.
But I'm just saying, if this wasn't, you know, a bigger production, if we're talking about a smaller production, and it doesn't matter what size I think it was, if you have these people that take to the internet and push this agenda, there are some... I mean, this could have been a play that had a really small budget that the producers put every single bit of their life savings into just to get on Broadway.
It's ridiculous how much it costs to rent one of those theaters to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The real issue. Nobody cares about the producers. Producers don't gamble their own money.
No, of course.
Because they're smart enough not to do that.
Without a job... Not talking about one, two people now. You're talking about an entire cast.
For the actors who were probably planning on being in those roles for the rest of the year, for the musicians who were counting on those gigs for the rest of the year, for the stagehands who were expecting to be in those gigs for the rest of the year, done. You're out of work in August, which is not a great time of year to be out of work on Broadway, because
mm-hmm.
nothing really kicks up again for a few months. And if you're an actor, it's, am I going to get another part? Where am I going to go next? What is the next opportunity? So this is what the uninformed activists have done. I don't care about what the optics of the thing is. The optics is the show needs to make money. If it doesn't make money, it doesn't go on. If it doesn't go on, everybody's out of work. If you can fix that by changing one actor and bring in the greatest of all time, certainly the greatest alive today,
mm-hmm.
you do that. Mandy Patinkin walks in and says, "I'll do your show." Throw everybody out.
No, but half the time it's these millennials that have no idea of who anybody is. So you say that name and they're like, "What? Who? What?"
Oh, no, they know. Like, if you're on Broadway, you know who Mandy Patinkin is.
Oh, no, absolutely.
There's no question that they know who he is. The problem is people who don't understand business pushing this agenda that is completely out of touch with the world that we live in. It's fine if you want to be upset about
this. But I think you're having a lot of commentation coming from people that aren't even in the Broadway world.
No, it was people on Broadway.
No, I think that's how it started.
Yeah.
But then once it hits mainstream media,
well, now everybody's piling on.
Yeah. And these people that have never even, don't even know where Broadway is, for the most part in New York, or can't name three plays, are commenting on an actor replacing actor because all they see is white replacing black.
Yeah.
And not, as you said, it's a business move. It's,
we can make,
there was a point to it.
We can make the argument to begin with that Tolstoy was not writing about black people in his novel set in Russia in 1813. Because if there's one thing we know about Russia in 1813, there were no black people there.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't his story that turned out these first crowds, which this is based on War and Peace. We're talking about, it was Josh Groban that got people to buy these tickets and got a buzz about it.
It's great that Oak got the opportunity. It's great that Oak has done well. Oak should have stepped back, done what was right for the show, and said, hey, welcome Mandy Patinkin. And then Mandy comes
still
in,
got paid.
Does his 3-week run, Oak comes back, everything goes on. No, instead we got to have a big hissy fit on the internet, and now the show shuts down, and everybody's out of work. Congratulations, protesters. Congratulations, uninformed noise bags. Congratulations, social justice warriors. You've done it again. And every time you have one of these achievements, you make the world a little bit worse. Please stop. The two people in this who are completely free of any and all responsibility are Oak and Mandy. Oak and Mandy both walked away from it, and they're like, the smartest thing both of them could have done.
Involved in it, of course.
Stupid. When your attitude toward your cause is, I don't care if I got to burn the whole thing down, get off the internet. Go home. Go read something. Go learn about how the world works, and then put your cause in some context. Because the 35 people, most of them people of color, who will be out of work when this show closes down, probably do not appreciate your crusading right now. 855-915-9636 is the phone number. It is the big picture. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week, and then on the Towel, Mikey D, everything you need to know about the Boston music scene here on WMFO Medford.
Another day, happy people pass my way. Looking in their eyes, I see a memory. I never realized how happy you made me. Oh Mandy, well you came and you gave without taking, but I sent you away. Oh Mandy, will you kiss me and stop me from shaking?
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story. One night, I was at a bar.
I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react. I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome.
Welcome back to The Big Picture, WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Gary, and I'm Lise Nichols, here with you until 9 o'clock. It's time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week. We got some really smart people here in Massachusetts, especially, right around the corner in Cambridge at MIT.
Hey, come on. We're toughs. The smartest people are actually here in Medford.
But the story that I'm talking about are the other smart people across the river.
They got a couple of high IQs down by the waterfront over there in Cambridge, but nothing like toughs.
So this interested me because I do food blogging. I take lots of pictures of food. I really admire lots of pictures of food. Many times I will, tap on them, like it. And I wonder what's in it if the person doesn't describe actually what's in it. Researchers at MIT Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory want to know what's in it, too. It's why they're creating an artificial neural network, a computer system modeled after the human brain. Examines photos and breaks them down into recipes. So what initially happens, it examines it and it goes through all of its inner working, and it can list up to 12 ingredients, and then through its database will link you through the internet a recipe that could coordinate with that.
It's never going to come up with a white pepper in the KFC original recipe.
No, but you're going to get the basics of chicken, buttermilk, that sort of thing. This is really cool. This is really interesting.
Does it just throw in sriracha by default?
Right.
Like on every result, may contain sriracha.
No, you know what? Sriracha isn't as cool anymore.
Don't tell McDonald's that, because I got the burger coming out now.
Yeah, they're a little late to the...
They're also McDonald's.
You know what? I honestly thought you were going to show up with chips today.
I know the new ones are out. I haven't had a chance to go get them yet.
Derek.
It's been crisis after crisis at work.
I did not eat a lot of Cheez-Its before the show, thinking that I was going to have chips.
I promise I will get to my source for the new Lay's, and we will talk about the new Lay's.
Subway.
In the meantime, if you're looking for something to do, I don't usually just throw out hey, go over here and do this sort of thing. It's summertime. It's a little hot. It's a good day to go to the coast. You can have a great day. Go over to Salem Willows and hang out at the beach, hang out at the boardwalk, hang out in the nice shady picnic areas.
Chop suey sandwich.
Get yourself a chop suey. The chop suey sandwich, it might be a debatable choice.
No, don't do it.
But do pick up some of the popcorn bars, which they've been making over there for decades and are fantastic. And they also have a great arcade. So if you are older and you like the classic pinball machines, they're the only place, by the way, in Massachusetts that still has pinball machines pre-1975.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only place you can go and play them in Massachusetts. You can go way up to Laconia and do it, or you can go to Salem. And then after that, if you are over 21 and you want to keep the adventure going, roll on down to Bit Bar in Salem, where they have 5 great pinball machines in the back, including Adam's Family and Doctor Who.
Did you finally get over there?
I've been over there before.
Okay.
Have the elk burger. Yes, they have an elk burger. There is real elk in the burger, and it is served on a cronut. And if you go on a Sunday night, here's an added bonus. Friend of the former show, not friend of the current show. I think he's still a friend of the show, but a name people remember from the HB Inc. radio days, Mr. Nick D'Amico, former keyboardist for Robbie Road Steamer, is hosting karaoke over there on Sunday nights. So go in, say hi to Nick. Nick is awesome.
And we'll be playing a little pinball tonight.
Get yourself an Elk Burger and play some Pac-Man and some Burger Time and some Doctor Who pinball.
There better be some good pinball.
I didn't know they were doing the league over there. I actually put up a massive score on the Doctor Who machine and then hit the button.
And then you got invited into the league.
Then hit the button for my free game and then saw the sign that said, did you put up a good score? Take a picture. Be a part of the league. I was like, oh, would have had the fourth best score. Bummer. Where's your head at? I'd be asking myself that question.
Mm-hmm. It's me in the show every week. That's the thing that happened. The craziest story from this week's news. New Jersey. It's like Florida of the North. A nude man walking along the interstate in New Jersey was using a sex toy on himself when his public pleasure session was interrupted by police yesterday. Officers responding to a report of, quote, a naked man walking along to the tree line on Route 287, end quote, discovered Stephen Kerouac, 39, and altogether near mile 64. In Bergen County Township, 30 miles north of New York City. When the man who lives in upstate New York was approached by two patrolmen, he stood up and pulled an object out of his rectum. Then he tossed the sex toy over his shoulder, said James Brell, the police department chief. The man was pleasuring himself in the view of passing autos, was in possession of a digital camera, and told the police that he, quote, liked to get naked and his intention was to film himself, end quote. Prior to the arrest, the man was at a nearby county park, in the scene of children. His sex toy, however, remains in police custody. The device was recovered and entered as evidence. Very uncomfortable to think about and to talk about.
Anal masturbation on the interstate. That's a new one for me.
In the public park. Nice job.
Yeah, well, the public park, that happens all the time. But at the side of the interstate, I don't know what you're trying to achieve over there. Alabama. A dozen inmates, including two charged with attempted murder, made a less than daring break from Walker County Jail. Upon learning that a new guard was working in the control room, the inmates used peanut butter scraped from sandwiches to paint a fake cell number on an exterior door, then asked the guard to open it. The guard complied, and the men fled. 11 of them were captured within 8 hours, while the 12th was picked up in, you guessed it, Florida today. The inmates will not have access to peanut butter in the future. That wasn't a joke tag. That's the truth.
So you can't have peanut butter and you can't masturbate in federal prison. What can you do now?
I've heard some rumors that the OJ masturbation story may have been a hoax, that you can't actually masturbate in federal prison.
I would hope so.
Not with peanut butter, not if you're these guys.
No.
Quick update, too. You may remember the gentleman who was caught on videotape having sex, the landlord who was caught having sex with a rando in his tenant's bedroom, pled guilty.
The camera usually doesn't lie, but...
Hey, did the right thing, saved the taxpayers some money, and he hasn't been sentenced yet, but he will be. And hopefully not allowed to rent property anymore.
I know, I honestly wish we had more updates on some of our crazier stories.
Yeah, a lot of them you just never get that. But this guy and the guy that was the kid that was doing unmentionable things with a stuffed animal at Walmart are like the only two
that
I ever remember getting updated.
That one I think was one of the best. And
I think the guy that took the dump on the supermarket scanner, we got an update on him as well. Those are the only three
I can think of. What about the ant with the clowns?
We brought Mama June, there's clowns
Mama
in the
June.
Woods. Mama June, there's clowns in the woods. I meant to bring that one up because there was a guy up in Maine that got picked up. He was drunk. Yes. He did not have, he had a hand amputated at one point, so he taped a machete onto his arm in place of his hand.
In a clown costume.
And put on a clown costume and makeup and started walking down the street. and when police approached him, they said he was very cooperative and said that he was just trying to get another one of those clown scare stories going.
Yeah.
Good on you, sir.
Wait till it comes out.
I gotta say, as a thing that happened, purist, people who are going out of their way to engage in malfeasance and commit mayhem, don't make the cut. If your intent is to go out and be stupid, you're not what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. We want actual stupid. And we'll have more actual stupid for you next week. Until then, Lisa Nichols.
Lovely as always.
And I am Derek.